going on? Happy Sunday night to you and yours. It's Bay Ragney here with Total Gym Radio. Total Gym Radio rocks. TDR rocks. That's right. Here for another night of rock and roll music with you. Well, I should say interview and some music, because we have a very special interview tonight. The one and only Phil Lewis of L.A. fucking Guns. That's right. I'm so freaking excited to share this interview with everybody. I got to do this the other day. It was kind of really an ironic thing too. Was hoping to get to do an interview with Phil on their last album release, and it just never came to be. And got to have it happen this time. My first time interviewing Phil Lewis, and I've been a long time fan of Phil's since the first LA Guns album. Been a huge LA Guns fan and supporter, and so I was stoked when I got this interview booked to do. And then, so it was booked to do on this past Monday, and then Monday morning the news came out that a good friend of our show, Mr. Bernie Tourme, legendary guitar player, passed away. And if you didn't know, Bernie and Phil actually played in a band together. So I had already planned to talk to Phil about Bernie and his playing with Bernie, and when Bernie joined them on stage last year. And actually, when I talked to Bernie in November to promote his latest album, I had talked to him about it. And I even asked Bernie about, if he would ever join LA Guns if he had the chance. This interview turned into a big remembrance of Bernie, which was really touching and super cool. And Phil shared some great memories. And we also talked about, I asked him about his band before. In his early young days over in England, Girl, which was with Phil Collin of Def Leppard. So we talk about that, and we also talk about the new album that comes out this Friday, The Devil You Know, which absolutely kicks freaking ass. It's classic LA Guns. It rocks super hard. It's a true hard rock album in every aspect. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. I'm going to play the first two singles on that have been released so far after the interview with Phil, so you get to get a little taste, wet your whistle some more of some LA Guns. But hey, without further ado, let's get into this interview. You're tired of hearing me babble on, so let's do it. Here he is, the one and only Philip Lewis.
How you doing? This is Bay from Totally Driven Radio.
Hi, I'm doing good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, man. So, it's kind of a sad day and scary day. I was actually, one of my questions was to ask you about your old friend, Bernie Tourme, getting a chance to play with him a year and a half ago, and sadly he passed away last night, I guess.
Yeah, sad day indeed. I'm very sad to hear it. It's, but, you know, he made a mark, you know. People are really... the tributes are rolling in, and he'd be happy about that.
Absolutely.
Certainly a big influence on my life, a musical mentor. To be honest with you, I was just fucking around, before I started working with him, just having a laugh, with Girl and
right.
The other things I was doing, and. When I collaborated with him, when we got together, that was my musical university.
Wow. Yeah, actually, I was honored to be able to interview Bernie a few times over the last few years. And actually, I talked to him back in November when he put his new album out. And I asked him about, getting a chance to play with you and Tracy and all. And I said to him, what if Phil called you up and said, hey, Bernie, we need a guitar player, maybe for a European tour or just to do the gig.
Yeah.
And he's like, honestly, I would jump at it. He's like, I had so much fun with this guy.
Yeah, we'd love to have him too. When I came over and I joined Tracy, when I gave up London and I decided to try my luck in LA, I begged him. I told him, come with me. Come on, let's go to LA. Let's do it. Let's see what, because... we blew up London, we blew up England, Back to Babylon came out, we were selling
right.
out shows left and right. But, the labels over there at that time, they were scared, dead scared of rock and roll. They wanted the new Duran Duran. They wanted Spandau Ballet. It was, they were terrified of rock and roll. And it makes me wonder, whether even Guns N' Roses might not have got signed in London because it was such a sort of this fear, terror of
wow.
of anything that wasn't, you know, cutesy and clean cut and squeaky clean, you know, Depeche Mode, Duran Duran. That was the that's what they wanted. So, you know, it got very frustrating. Because we were, you know, we'd have packed houses. We put out our own record and it sold well. You know, we did everything right. We did everything we were supposed to. And the next natural stage would be to get a proper major deal with it doesn't have to be, you know, huge conglomerate, but just, you know, a real deal from a real label.
Sure.
And it wasn't forthcoming. So I fucked off to LA and hit jackpot in no time at all, and came back to England with a gold belt, with a gold record under my belt, and that was a big fuck you to all those pussies that didn't have the guts to sign us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you like keep in touch with Bernie? Like after you came over here to LA, to still try to get him? It's like, hey,
yeah. You know, absolutely, and always stayed in touch. And you know, to this day, Chris Howman, the bass player, we're like best friends. Those guys, they were family. It was the magic time for me, working alongside Bernie. You know, I was looking up, you know, people were posting these YouTubes and all the stuff that we did together. It sounds really, really good. We did good.
That's awesome. Now, how about with Girl? Would you ever see yourself getting back together with them, maybe doing like a song or just a one-off show or something?
Yeah, I'll never say never about anything anymore. You know, the fact that I got back together with Tracy after 15 years of estrangement, I find it's best not to put the kibosh on it. Because you never know, like in 2 weeks' time, something might develop. I'm on, you know, me and Jerry Laffey were on a plane to Tokyo, a Girl gig. I wouldn't say no. You know, it's supposed to, you know, I signed up for the adventure.
Right.
So, yeah, if the opportunity arose, I wouldn't puss out. You know, Jerry hasn't played guitar in quite some time, but recently he's been excited to get back and get in the rehearsal room and start making some noise again. So I'm really, really happy to hear that, and hopefully that will mushroom into something with a bit more traction.
Interesting.
Not for me, you know, but for him. You know, he should be playing. He's a good guitarist.
It's kind of scary too. I actually interviewed earlier one of your old guitar players, Stacey Blades.
Oh, Stacey's a good boy. Yeah. What's he up to?
He's got a new. But their first single out last week.
Yeah. Good for him. Stacey's a good man. He's a great guitar player. He's a good guy. I wish him well.
That's awesome. Now, it's with the whole thing with you and Tracy getting back together, like when you guys kind of combined bands, now this is in my own wacky head of thinking. I'm thinking to myself, it was kind of like a sports team, like, all right, well, we're going to take this guy and I'll trade you for this one. And like, how did that whole like thing like happen where you got guys? Yeah, chose who you did choose to stay.
I agreed to get up and play some songs with the band that Tracy had. It was passing through Vegas at the time. The band was Tracy, Johnny Martin on bass, and Shane Fitzgibbon on drums. And as I said, I hadn't played with Tracy in a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And immediately... there was the chemistry, like without, you know, even giving it too much thought. It was just,
sure.
It was just right. It's like picked up where we left off. But, you know, I was just so impressed with the rhythm section with those two guys that agreeing the next, you know, over the next few weeks to listening to Tracy's new material and talking about maybe collaborating on a few songs. And I was just like blown away. I said, you've got such a great, great band here. And he goes, yeah, don't I? And so, you know, it wasn't a question of me bringing Tracy back into the band. It was actually me joining his band And I was really, really happy to do that. And there was a certain amount of negotiating going on.
Sure.
He wanted a second guitar player, and there's no way. I don't have the gut. I play a bit of rhythm guitar, and I did in the other lineup, but I wouldn't put a guitar around my neck in the same room as Tracy Guns, let alone try and compete and compare. So I really needed somebody who knew what they were doing. And right now, we've got Ace Van Johnson. And
right.
I just couldn't be happier. I wanted Ace in the band from the very beginning. But, you know, he's a man of integrity, he's a man of his word, and he had commitments, and he had to fulfill those. And now, down the line, things are a little bit different. And just have to see how it goes. But he's on board for the... For this release and the tour that we're going to be doing to promote it.
Now, did he end up playing on the new album as well, or?
No, you know, Tracy writes the shit. He sits on the tour bus with his guitar and garage band, and just puts the stuff down. He lays the tracks down, and then he'll do like the leads and stuff over it. And so he's already prepped in his mind how he's going to go about it when he does it properly in the studio. And so rather than, you know, explain to somebody else or to try and he just wants to keep it pure, keep the his idea exactly the way the original concept without it changing too much. And I respect that. We certainly don't need a second guitar player in the studio. But we do live. I would definitely miss it without having that second guitar, especially if it's somebody as dynamic visually and sonically as Ace Van Johnson. He's absolutely the perfect fit, you know, and he's an LA guy. We shot the video for The Devil You Know last weekend, and he's like, "Hey, let's go have a drink at the Rainbow on Sunset after the shoot." So I was like, "Yeah, okay, let's do that." And me, Scotty, we went down, and he's got his own table down there. He's got his own booth. He's got a brass plaque saying, you know, the table belongs to. And I'm thinking to myself, "My God, this boy's got some game." You know, it's just like he's just, you know, he's a guitar player and a bit of a gunslinger, but he's so charming that it didn't surprise me at all that they would do that for him at the Rainbow, because, you know, he's just a good guy, and I was really impressed with that. I don't know if he just screwed it in for that night, but it looked pretty legit to me.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. So the new album, though, you guys got really, really heavy at times on it. So I was kind of like, I was thinking to myself, wow, because I know Tracy, like you said, writes all the music and all. I'm like, was there some anger Tracy needed to let out on this one? I mean, I'm loving it, though.
Yeah, you know, Tracy was going through it a bit at the time, for sure. And that may have reflected in the music. You know, the missing piece. It had some very symphonic phases. There were a lot of strings. It was a sort of a ballady, ethereal record at times. You know, the floods, just the fall of the rain. You know, it had a nice sort of at times, it had a bit of a mellow groove to it. This one does not. There's no ballads on this. The closest thing is Another Season in Hell. And does that sound like a ballad title to you?
Not at all.
that's just a different direction, a more stripped down punk attitude, not punk sensibility, certainly not punk playing. It's like Johnny Shane and Tracy are light years away from punk rock, but the sensibilities there.
Yeah, the one thing, too, I was thinking to myself, too, like with this album now, I mean... it's like with the last album, there was the maturity. This one, it's kind of like got that old gritty feel to it, like the early LA Guns. But then,
I hear getting that a lot.
Yeah. But then also too, like now I'm thinking to myself, like there's so much material now. Like the first single, Stay Away, amazing. The second single, yeah. Rate. Like, all right, so now you got to add these to your live show. Like, so it's like, does it get harder and harder now? Like, when you guys are putting out great music and now you got to like kick some of the old songs off the set list for these new ones?
It's excruciating. It really is. It's such a dilemma. And, you know, it makes it different. We don't really want to do like, you know, like these summer tour packages, you know, where we're on stage with 6-8 other bands and we're allotted 35 or 45 minute set. We can't do anything with that. That's no good to us. You know, that's fine on the hair circuit. But you know, I got away. I wanted to get away from that. That's why I'm not playing with Steve Riley no more. You know, that was it. We were the part of that whole group, that movement, you know, the hair, county fair shows and,
right.
I hated it. It drove me crazy. So yeah, we don't really do that. We do our own shows, and if we're lucky, what we really like, the most best thing of all, is if we can do two consecutive nights at the same venue. So we can do a classic, the first night can be classic, and then the second night will be all this new stuff.
That would be
and other stuff, you know, like deep cuts, you know, like from like, you know, Killing Machine and stuff from
right.
like Waking the Dead and Vicious Circle.
That would be awesome.
Because we got so much material. We've got, you know, just such a big catalog. Honestly, no offense, but you know, the 35 minutes before Winger it's no good. We can't use that. We can't do nothing. No disrespect to Kit. We're all very fond of him, but that's we're trying to do something else.
Right. How about too? I mean, like this is now what 30 years since Cocked and Loaded. I mean, would you guys be doing like any? Cocked and Loaded full set, you know what I mean, like the whole album?
No, I don't think anyone wants that, you know.
I do. That's honestly one of my like probably top five. It's definitely my top five all-time favorite albums.
Yes, but you know that I think we do. Thank you, I appreciate that, by the way, that means a lot. But you know, there are certain songs on there that, you know, we never played live, so I can't see us, you know, digging it all up. And I can't see there being that, maybe, you know, a show, but certainly you wouldn't want to tour. We wouldn't tour with that.
Right. You know, the one thing with that album that
it's not Operation Mindcrime or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, okay, but I'd rather listen to that than Operation Mindcrime, to tell you the truth. But
oh yeah, me too. No, yeah, that's easy.
But now 30 years later, I get to ask you this question, and I think I might ask Tracy this years ago when I talked to him. You know, when the first album came out, you know, it was gritty, it was rock and roll, it was dirty, and you know, at that time, the thing I was afraid of as a fan was the record companies would get a hold of you guys and water you down, and it would come back. The second album would be real wimpy sounding, but
yeah.
It came out, and it was real balls to the wall. And I was like, yes. Was there any record company in your ears trying to change your direction at all?
You know, yeah, it's very perceptive of you, and Cocked and Loaded for me was absolute highlight of the early days in LA Guns. A lot of the material on the first record, on the debut, had been previously written before I was even in the band. Like there were certain songs like Never Enough and Sex Action that actually had different titles. They completely different set of melodies, and for me, when I joined in 88, it was very much a salvage job. There were, you know, I was picking up songs that, you know, like trying to interpret lyrics and writing new lyrics, and like, you know, Sex Action used to be called Looking Over My Shoulder, and you know things like that. So I was amazed. It was great when we all started Cocked and Loaded from scratch at the same point together, very much like we just did with this new record, The Devil. Like, you know, Tracy had a lot of ideas bouncing around before I agreed to do the reunion before we started writing The Missing Piece. So that not a salvage. It wasn't quite a salvage. They weren't, you know, as developed as the early LA Guns songs before I joined. But, you know, they've been floating around. And now the second record, the Devil You Know, we all started at the same start line. So the parallels between those two records. And yes, it was a relief to everyone that the record companies hadn't got to us, but they sure had by the third and by the fourth, you know. And it was a nightmare. I got to tell you, I know we're never going to sell the amount of records we did back then, and you know, if it means not having to go to that fucking dog and pony show ever again in my life, but you know, we knew we shouldn't be surprised. You know, it wasn't like we were the first band it ever happened to. We knew that going in. You know, we can bitch and complain as much as we want, but you know, it wasn't a shock. It was nasty because, you know, we caught the tail end of it. We you know, just as the grunge thing kicked in, you know, because Cinderella had peaked, Poison had peaked, you know, all these bands that we were being groomed, being in the same sausage machine. They'd all done their business, and we were the ones where it was like, oh, suddenly they didn't want to hear it anymore. And somehow that made it our fault.
Right. Yeah, you guys took the blame.
Yep.
But
that's life. You know, we signed up for it. It was a long-term thing. And, days like today make me really appreciate that I'm still here and doing what I am. And it's just like, you know, Bernie was always so encouraging you know, would be like, you know, every album we put out, you always write me an extensive review and what he thought, and just real, real big brother, you know. Yeah, I'm going to miss that one. He would have liked this record a lot.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, I can honestly say, and this is no bull, I mean, out of all the interviews I've done over the last 7 years, Bernie was definitely one of my favorites every time because we just had so much fun. I kept breaking his balls, too, like the last go-around when he put out the triple album. I'm like, you got to go for quadruple now. Now you got to go for four.
And
I would always tweet to him, too, and just always say that. And finally, I met Dee Snider, and I got a picture of Dee Snider. And I tweeted it to Bernie. I said, Bernie, we're discussing your quadruple album coming out. And he shot me an email. He's like, Bay, please. You're killing me. He goes, you don't know what that triple album did to me.
That's great. Yeah, you know, Dee got it. He loved him. Ian Gillan got it. You know, he did the thing with Ozzy after Randy passed. And God bless him for, you know, that was huge. Huge, huge boots to fill, and after Randy passed, and you know, it wasn't really, the styles couldn't be more different. But Bernie, you know, they needed some help, and he said, "Sure, I'll see what I'll do my best," and he did. He did a few shows. It wasn't for him, and but you know, it's great. You know, the stories from that era he used to tell. It's absolutely fantastic, and
I think that speaks volumes about him, though. Even at that young age, where you know he got the gig to be with Ozzy, and he could have wrote it out and made some good money doing it, and he realized it just was not the right fit for him, and he walked away from it.
No.
I think that just speaks volumes, right there.
Randy Rhoads was a sort of classically trained. Not sort of, he was an eminently classically trained guitar player and, you know, could play more notes in a phrase than Bernie could ever dream. Bernie was kind of a, you know, I don't want to say sloppy, but, you know, like a more of a Rory Gallagher, you know, it was more like a George Thorogood kind of a driving, you know, rhythmic guitar player. He Bernie never needed a rhythm guitar ever. He could do both parts effortlessly. Whereas Ozzy's stuff really needed that virtuoso style that Bernie never claimed to be.
Yeah. Wow. So, all right. So, The Devil You Know, it actually comes out next Friday, right? The 29th?
Next Friday. My goodness. That's getting close. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost here. And then you guys are hitting the road. You guys are actually rolling into the Philadelphia area April 11th. I get to see you guys
great.
Again.
Yeah, come on down. We'll take care of you. We'll get you some swag and sort you out.
Cool. I'm there. And you know what? You got to get Tracy to come out and say hello, too. Like, I used to talk to him all the time, and now he's like, I know he stays low profile, so.
We can't. We can't do that. You can come to a pre-show meet and greet as my guest. And you can talk to him, but we don't go out after shows anymore. It's just it's crazy. We get fist fights and people throwing bottles and the behavior. Well, because they're drunk, they're all like wasted and their ears are ringing and they just it never ends well. It really never ever ends well. So we just don't do it. And I miss doing it. I used to love going. I mean, you know, hey, you know, who doesn't want to go out and get adulated after, you know,
sure.
Deliver the goods like that? But it's just not worth it. So we do it prior to the show. We do it a couple of hours before we start getting ready, and that works out much better.
Awesome, very cool.
So come say hi then. All right, tell Scotty or Andy that you know I invited you because you're helping us because you're supporting us. The least we can do.
Hey, it's an honor. It truly is. You, Tracy, the whole
appreciate
band. A huge supporter of you guys
for
years.
Thank
one more thing before
that.
Thank you. One more thing. If you just cut an ID for me before I let you go. This is Phil Lewis of LA Guns, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
What's up, rockers? This is Phil Lewis from LA Guns, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio. Turn it up.
Awesome. Phil, thank you so much. Congrats with everything, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you. Cheerio.
Thank
Bye.
You. Take care. Bye.
Dirty Rocks, there you go. Brand new LA fucking Guns with the first single Stay Away and their second single Rage. And actually, they just released the other day the title track, The Devil You Know. So this Friday, I hope you're ready. Full album's out. It's going to be so freaking exciting. It's going to blow everybody away, man. So happy Phil and Tracy are back together. So yeah, make sure you check them out. LA Guns, they're getting ready to head out on tour. They're coming here into the Philadelphia area in April, so I'll be seeing them guys. And yeah, I can't wait, man. Can't wait. LA freaking Guns. So yeah, check them out. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Look for them at Frontier Records as well. And look for us, Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. And my name is Bay Ragney. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us your support. And until next time, keep tuned to the Facebook page. We've got tons more interviews coming up this week. We got Rev Jones. We got the band Lucifer. We got all types of fun stuff coming up. So make sure you stay tuned. Don't go away. And remember these very important words I'm about to say to you. Stay driven. See you, everybody.